I'm Nina Jaffe. If you've been teaching more than a few years, you've probably taught more than one grade. Sometimes it's your decision to change the grade you teach. Sometimes it's not your decision. But either way, change presents you with new challenges both in what you teach and how you teach. And that's especially true in teaching math. So, if you have to change grades, where would you look for advice on teaching math? Well, you could start with a new book by everybody's favorite math expert, Marilyn Burns. The book is called So You Have to Teach Math? Sound Advice for K-6 Teachers, written by Marilyn and Robin Silby, and published by Math Solutions. And right now, we've got Marilyn Burns on the phone to offer some advice on what to do if you are switching grades this year. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
It's wonderful to have you here today to talk about this actually very important topic. Sometimes teachers don't know they're switching grades until the end of August.
It's a topic that's especially important to me because I started way back as a junior high teacher. I was taught eighth grade and had five classes of students every day.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't imagine what people in the elementary grades did if they had one class of children all day long.
Right. What to do with all of them.
That's right.
Well,
I made the switch, so I know other people can do so as well.
Yes. Well, that's good to know. So, Marilyn, let's take a situation in which two teachers have to switch grades. Let's say a first grade teacher has to switch to fifth grade and a fifth grade teacher who must switch to the first grade. Let's start with the fifth grade teacher who must go to the lower grade. What advice could you give in terms of her math teaching and thinking about math?
Well, the first thing to remember, I think, is that children are children, so that they all require, in some ways, the same kind of care in the planning we do. Get organized, be clear in your directions. But the second, when you're going down to first grade, the thing that I learned was things take much more time.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was used to my older students, get out paper and pencil and boom, boom, they do it. With first graders, it was a lot of searching and then writing their names. It was just slowed down the process quite a bit. And therefore, it required that I realize this and make the direction so that the children could hear and complete something before I went on and raced on to the next item. So I think it's just a question of a time difference that will become pretty evident after about 45 minutes in the class.
Right. I once heard a story, and I don't know if it's a true or apocryphal, that there was a very high-level college teacher professor who decided he wanted to go and teach first grade and has stayed with first grade because it was the most fascinating and most challenging grade for him to teach. In terms of teaching math, what do you think is particularly challenging or interesting about where kids are thinking and learning at that age?
I think the fact that it's interesting is how children think. As somebody who studied math and taught older students, when I went down to the lower grades, the mathematics didn't appear to be as interesting to me, but what became more interesting was how the children thought about it. First graders count. They love to count. They'll count anything, and they'll count clearly and with joy. My job as a teacher of young children is to help them to move beyond counting, to think about some other strategies for thinking numerically. And how we get children to do that requires listening to them and taking their lead and encouraging them to move on. And that's simply fascinating. I never thought it would grasp me the way it did, but I can understand why it would be fascinating for somebody who loved higher math to be just as fascinated by young children's conceptions.
Right. In terms of the curriculum, let's say, that 6- and 7-year-olds might be learning, would you say this is more along the lines of computation, or should the teacher moving down to first grade be thinking on broader topics as well?
Well, I think the topic should be broader, but in each area, whether it's number or geometry or even thinking about statistics when we do some graphing with the children, it's how the children will see that area of mathematics and what they can bring to it that will be very, very different. So the broad spectrum is important. But of course, the mathematics is much more demanding at the upper grades because it's much more complicated. But still, the preparation that the children need at the younger grades is in all areas of math. I remember teaching third grade once and saying to the children, put on your thinking cap. How come a triangle can only have one square corner? Now, older kids think about triangles, and right triangles have only one right angle. Mm. It was fascinating to hear how the young children were interested in and able to grapple with something like that. Mm.
So in some way, that teacher working with first graders maybe for the first time is going to hear some new ideas or new thoughts that she might not have heard from older children who've already been trained more in the so-called correct or right way to go.
Yes, and the trick is to listen to the children. Listen to how they are thinking. That's where you will take your lead, and that's where you'll find this experience so absolutely delightful.
Okay, so now let's reverse the situation. What about a first grade teacher who must switch to the fifth grade? What does this teacher need to know about teaching math?
Well, first of all, the first grade teacher needs to know that he or she is bringing with her some wonderful skills of getting kids to understand what, how things are supposed to be done, giving clear directions, and being well organized. And this will be enormously useful with the upper grades. I think with the upper grade children, the question is to think about the kinds of questions you can ask which will push their thinking. And often it's questions that you are curious about yourself. And therefore, you'll be able to see how the children can deal with the same sort of situation in a much more complex way.
So in a certain sense, fifth graders need to be challenged in some way, or feel that they are being challenged, perhaps.
Or sometimes it's the same activity. I remember asking young children, they each took a handful of cubes, and they all figured out, counted how many they had. I said, well, how many do you think we have in the whole class if we put them all together? Their answers were wild, everything from 10 to a jillion billion. But if, with fifth graders, they each took a handful, they know what theirs is, they know that there will be some variation, they'll come up with answers and estimates that are far more reasonable and be able to explain why. So it's the same kind of activity of getting children to think and reason and pushing them, but the children will bring to it the maturity they have and the new knowledge that they have just from being older.
Right. So the first grade teacher moving to fifth might want to be prepared for the skills that those children will already have and be bringing into the situation.
Right.
I know you're an advocate of field trips to help students see math in action. Would field trips be good in terms of enforcing or reinforcing or enriching math curriculum for both first and fifth graders?
Oh, sure. When we think about the areas that are other than number, and you think about geometry, for example, it's wonderful to take young children on a walk in the neighborhood and say, how many examples of triangles can we find? Do you see any squares? And let them see that the math is in the environment around them. At the same time, it's wonderful to take children to a store and say, which is going to be the best buy here if we're going to buy cookies for our party? So there's so many ways where we can do simple things that don't require a lot of complex planning, but really are just thoughtfully things that will give the children experience with math in the real world.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that both in first and fifth grade, any teacher will be looking at the issue of children who learn at different rates or complete assignments or complete tasks at different rates or are grasping things faster or a little more slowly. Is there an advice that you might be able to give for either or both grades to help teachers manage those differences in rates of learning?
Yes, because at the older grades, in one way, for me, it was easier because the children's ability to read is better. So I could always have a few activities that were extensions of what we were doing, and they were written instructions, and I can say, you've done this, try this. With younger children who don't have that ability, I find that if the activity is one where they're engaged with something they enjoy, a game that they're playing, a puzzle they're figuring out, they'll be willing to do more of the same and get the comfort from being familiar with it. So always I have something in mind for the child who either works more quickly or needs an additional challenge. And the delivery system will be different in a first grade class and a fifth grade class, but the notion is the same.
Wonderful. Well, Marilyn, thank you very much. It's been great talking with you today.
Yes, it's wonderful to talk with you again, Nina. Thanks so much.
And remember, you can find more math wisdom from Marilyn at the Math Solutions website. You'll find information about all of her books and videos and about the Math Solutions workshops for teachers that are held across the country. The website address is www.mathsolutions.com. That's www.mathsolutions.com.